Sometimes I have this problem and I want two things and you can't have both. For example, I would like to be in really good shape and I like Dr. Pepper and chicken wings and Brahms chocolate ice cream every night before bed, okay? Not all those before bed, just Brahms chocolate ice cream right before bed. That's kind of the thing. It's really hard for me not to do that. But I want both. You know, you want to be, and you want, and we, I think we kind of go through this. Students and college students and high school students, they go through this where they want good grades, and you want to be really good at that video game. Or like, it's like, you want good grades, and I want to watch Netflix all night. And sometimes they don't go really good together. You can't have both. When I was in high school, I liked two girls at the same time. I can tell you that does not work. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Just you can't. So sometimes you can't do both, have both, okay? My kids, their hardest decisions in life are when they go and they want to have a snack or candy. We went on a trip. We went to Buc-ee's. You know, you always go to Buc-ee's if you pass one. And they have the candy aisle is bigger than, and they all, I say one thing. They can't. They want both. Or actually, there's like 20 things they want. You're like, and sometimes it's hard to pick. There's two things. You know, you're kind of, and then a lot of times what we do is we get stuck in the middle. Okay, we kind of have this. We do this with I know I do this with health. Okay, it's like, well, I want to be in like good shape and work out, but I also want to eat these things and like, you know, live this. And you kind of get stuck in the middle, like dad bod. You know, that's what they call it. It's like I'm not like really good shape, and I'm not. And the sad part is. You're not really eating everything you want. You're saying no all the time. You're kind of, and you're not in the really good shape that you want. You're just kind of in the middle, all right? And so sometimes we get this kind of middle ground. And that works in some parts of life, okay? You can kind of live in the middle. But some things it doesn't work, okay? Some things require you to make a decision, okay? Marriage is this way. You don't get married and hold on to the last old, you know, girlfriend, okay? You don't get married and it's got to be no middle ground. It's all in. And our relationship with God is this way. We can't live in the middle on with our relationship with God, okay? We need to be all in with Him. And I think sometimes we find ourselves in this weird place where it's like, I want to live by the Holy Spirit. I want to have a close relationship with God. I want these things. And at the same time, there's this stuff from the world that I want. There's this other stuff that I used to do, like before I was saved, that I kind of still want. And other attitudes and values and things that I want. But I want to live for God, and I want that. We call this dad bod Christianity. I don't know. Like we're just kind of stuck in the middle, and we're not called to live that way. In fact, we're gonna look at three different passages, actually verses, and they all talk about this. Okay, Jesus talked about you can't live in the middle. James talked about it. We're gonna look there. John talked about it. We could look at where Paul did. We're not gonna keep going. So just gonna look at those three though, and I want to just show you can't live in the middle. As a believer, we're not meant to live in the middle. You won't have the life God has for you if you do that. So, starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other." He's talking about you can't serve two. Now, we've already talked about there's a lot of times in life. Not talking about masters here, but a lot of times when you know, you just have to choose. You don't have a choice. You got to pick between, and it can be silly things in life. You experience this, okay? I go to the restaurant, I go to the drink machine. I'm going to be healthy and get water or enjoy the meal and get Dr. Pepper. And, you know, you can't do both. That would be really gross, okay? You don't get stuck in the middle. And in life, when we're talking about our relationship with God, there are times when he says, do something. I want to do this. He said, do this. Is he my master or is that my master? And we choose. You got to choose. You can't go a little both. That means you're going to have a time. He says, and it says you will hate one and love the other, be devoted to one, despise the other. It means that one of them is going to be leading you. One of them is going to be guiding you. Let me finish the verse. He says, you cannot serve both God and mammon, or money, wealth. He gives us this great example. And now here's the thing about that. Money's not bad, right? It's okay to have money. If you think it's bad, you can give yours to me. I'll take the evil from you, whatever. You know, money's not bad, right? But if you serve money, you can't serve money.
That's right.
You can't let it be your master. And now, nobody that I know would say, money is my master. I've never heard anyone admit that. Okay, like, but no one would say that. So what is he saying here? You can't be, let's put it this way, you can't be directed by money and God. You're going to be directed by money, guided in life by what gets me money, how do I get there? And we're just talking about money for now, but or you're going to be directed and guided by God. It's kind of hard to say money's my master, but I think a lot of us can look at times in our life when it is the driving force behind what I do and why I do it. It's why I live there. It's why I took that job. It's why I moved here. It's the decision-making thing instead of God being the decision-making thing. And you can't have both as a master. Now, I'm just going to put a blank where it says God and, because I think money is certainly a huge one, but you can't serve both God and anything else. It's God is the only one that we serve. And again, no one's going to say money's my master. Sports is my master. The opinions of others is my master. No one's going to say that. But, okay, if we just think about this, I use that word guiding, okay, or directing. A lot of times, if you look at a season of your life, or maybe now even, the opinions of others directed all of your decisions. The opinions of that people that you work with and what they're going to think determined the way you talked, the way you acted, what you said, okay? That is a master. Right. If you know, sometimes there's all these different things that begin to guide our life, direct our life. And here's the thing I want you to see is they come in conflict with what God wants you to do. Okay, you can have money, you can do different things and have different pursuits in life and all that, as long as God is in control. And what happens, though, is oftentimes in life, things come in conflict, where you have to choose to serve God or choose to do the other thing. So I can make everybody like me in this moment by giving in and doing what all they're doing, something that's, you know, a Christian shouldn't do, or I can obey God. And they're going to look at me and go, come on, everybody else, come on. And there's the conflict. And in that moment, I decide, who's my master? Am I going to do what's right and obey God, or am I going to let the opinions of others be my master and do that for them? Does this make sense how this works? Okay, so Jesus said you cannot do this. Now, if you look at the surrounding context, the very next thing he says is, therefore, do not worry, okay? And so they're connected by that. And so, like, here's a great way to see if something is in the wrong place in your life, okay? What do you worry about all the time? Where does your security come from? What do you sacrifice for without hesitation? What can you not say no to? Okay, these could be things that are a master. I mean, yeah, we sacrifice for things, that's okay. But I want to just put this in your mind, okay? That if I see something and I'm constantly thinking about it and worried about it, it's very likely that that thing has become the thing that I'm serving over God. So we want to be aware of that and look for that, okay? And so Jesus says you can't serve two, you can only serve one. At some point, they're going to be in conflict and you're going to love one and not the other, okay? Now, I'm going to show you two more passages, okay, in James. But first, I'm going to do something. I never do this. I can't even remember the last time I did this because I saw this video, okay? I'm going to show you a short video because it will show you the way people treat God, and you're going to remember it because it's kind of absurd, okay? and it's a little funny. So, okay, go ahead and show us this really quick.
Stop. I'm very excited.
Good evening. Oh, good evening. Have you dined with us before?
Yes, actually. This is our favorite restaurant.
Welcome back.
No, babe, I'm pretty sure we've never been here before.
Oh, that's weird.
Really?
No, we haven't.
Oh, hold that thought. Just one second. I'm really sorry.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. So what would you like to order this evening?
Yes, sir. So you know what? I think I would like to have that salmon. That sounds absolutely wonderful. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I like that. And for you, ma'am?
I will have the filet mignon and the New York strip and the 8-ounce sirloin, all medium rare, please.
Yes, fantastic.
That is a great choice.
Thank you.
I will get those right out to you.
Babe, It's kind of a lot of food, isn't it?
I'm not just ordering for one, you know.
Wait, are you telling me that we're... Are we expecting?
Yeah, he'll be here soon.
It's a boy? Oh my...
Yeah, of
Oh my gosh,
course.
Babe. Okay, this has got to be...
There he is now.
Wait,
hi.
What?
Oh, bonjour. Sorry, I'm late.
I ordered for you.
Oh, thank you. You know me so well.
I'm sorry. Do you two know each other?
Yeah, he is my boyfriend from high school.
Your boyfriend from high school? Babe, can I ask you what your old boyfriend's doing?
Did I come at a bad time?
No! Yeah. I really don't see the problem here, Justin.
Yeah, I really don't see the problem here.
Okay, who are you?
Honey, stop. You're embarrassing me. I just wanted us to have one nice night at our favorite restaurant.
Okay, first of all, I've never been to this restaurant. And second, what is going on?
Hey, babe, sorry I'm late. Did I miss anything?
Okay, seriously? Hey, you... All right, you take your hand off her. And you... What is going on?
Just sit down. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
Angela, is this some kind of joke? Are you actually seeing these guys?
Justin, I've known these guys longer than I've known you.
Wait, what?
Are you seriously jealous right now?
Jealous? Angela, in case you forgot, we're married.
Okay, and we spend the majority of our time together. I love you more than any of my other boyfriends. That's why you'll always be my favorite.
Your favorite? Is there anyone else I need to know about?
Babe, is there a problem over here?
Okay, really, the waiter?
No, Dennis, we're
fine.
All
right, seriously, no.
Good, food will be right up.
Okay, Angela, all right. These guys need to go, and we need to talk. We're done.
I cannot believe this. You are being so selfish.
Selfish?
Why do you always have to make everything about you? You ruined our favorite restaurant. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, I've still never been to this restaurant.
Okay, so in the girl's defense, she loved him more than the others, right? And she spent most of her time with him, and that's absurd, right? Like, and obviously, like, no one would accept this because that's just crazy. Now, the reason I show it to you is because this is what people do in their relationship with God, and this is what they made the video for, is they, oh, I love you, God. I love you more than anybody else. I'm spending all my time with you, but I want to hold on to these other things. I want to keep this other stuff. And this is how James says it. James 4:4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, he's not talking about adultery in the sense of like a man cheating on his spouse, okay? He's talking about adultery between us and the Lord. So maybe I could say it like this. Adultery is when you give to somebody what was meant only for your spouse. And when we're giving to others what is meant for the Lord, our devotion and our service and things, then is he saying we're an adulterous people. And he says this, it's friendship with the world, that we can't have friendship with the world. Now, you can misunderstand this phrase a little bit. I mean, does that mean we can't like things in the world, right? I mean, I already talked about I like Brahms chocolate ice cream and chicken wings and things like that. Okay, I like these things. Do I have to eat them and not like them? Like, what does he mean, friendship with the world, right? And so it's not talking about those. It's talking about when we take the values of the world, the priorities of the world, these are worldly things, the appetites of the world, and we make them ours, instead of the values of the Lord and his priorities and his desires for us. And, you know, one thing about this video, I don't know if you noticed, he wasn't the only one shocked. She was shocked, wasn't she? She was like, she couldn't understand why he was so upset. Apparently, she had some people in her life that were like, oh yeah, this is great. I'm so glad that you're able to keep your old people. And there is encouraging her and all this. And just apparently, and I don't hope this is not you, we have made people believe that it's okay for them to hold on to their old life and then go and be in a relationship with God. That it's okay to keep your old self, your old practices, your old things. Yeah, you can hold on to that and just be with God. We've maybe even taught people this somehow. And because people believe this, that they can just live whatever, have whatever. And James says, that's adultery, that we're an adulterous generation. And so we want to be wholehearted, full in, submitted to him. Now, talking about this, you know, being friendship with the world, if we go, we're going to look at 1 John, because he's going to say something really similar, okay? He says this, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, if you just stop there, it's kind of confusing. It's like, you can't love anything in the world, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that you like in this world, right? I mean, I hear people, I love my car, right? You know, I love this house. I love this trip I went on. I always say I love Dr. Pepper. Y'all hear that? And actually, the last two times I preached, I talked about Dr. Pepper. The next week, somebody brought me a case of Dr. Pepper, both times. And so my wife wanted me to mention that I like Louis Vuitton, Kate Spade, and Michael Kors. I don't know. So I don't even know what those are, but I'm supposed to say that. We have things that we love in this world, okay? But here's the thing about the Bible. Sometimes you read something, it's confusing. If you'll just keep reading, a lot of times it will explain itself, okay? The next verse says this, "For everything in the world," and now he's going to tell us the specific things he's talking about. He says, "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world." It's this craving of physical pleasure. It's craving of the things that you see. It's pride in your achievements and pride in your possessions. And he says, you know, these things are from the world, and we're not to love these things and pursue these things. Now, I'm going to kind of break the three down just a little bit so we actually understand what they are. But before I do, I just want to give you a little Bible nugget, okay? Genesis 3:6 talks about the fall. This is when Eve goes to eat the fruit, right? Listen to what it says. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food," okay, that's that lust of the flesh. It's satisfying her flesh, right? "Pleasing to the eye," lust of the eyes, "and also desirable for gaining wisdom." Look at what I know. Look how good I am. I know so much. I'm so smart, okay? That's the pride of life. She took some and ate it. So here you see right at the very beginning these three things that the enemy used to bring her down. And here we are now, and almost the end of the Bible. 1 John is saying this. He's saying, look, these things we cannot love, we cannot pursue and have. So let me talk about them really quick. The first one, the lust of the flesh. And I just want to put it like this, pleasure. It's this seeking of pleasure. And so much of the time, someone says we want to serve God, we want to do what's right, and then we want this thing that gives us pleasure. And we turn to this thing that gives us pleasure. And it could be a variety of things, you know, drunkenness, sex outside of marriage, pornography, gossip, getting even, right? Just all kinds of different things that it's like, I feel so good when I blow off some steam, or I feel so good when I use this substance, and there's this thing that we have, and it's that lust of the flesh, and it gets in, and we desire that, and we let it stay in our life because it feels good. We know it's not supposed to be there, but it feels good. And he says, you cannot love those things. The truth is, I've known people, and maybe it's the case for some of you, that won't commit their life to God because of a pleasure that they don't want to give up. And it's like, if I have to give that up, I don't want to serve God. And the deception is that that thing is going to truly satisfy you and give you joy. You know, we have the right to, what is it, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? It's a declaration. I got to tell you, you shouldn't pursue happiness. pursue the Lord and he'll give you happiness. If you pursue happiness, that's the lust of the flesh. You will fall right into that one or the next one if that's what you pursue. You should pursue the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will take care of you, but you pursue him first. So, making our life about pleasure will keep us having a divided heart. We'll have the wrong master. It will become a master in your life if that is the pursuit that you have. The next one is possessions. It's that lust of the eyes. I see that. I want that. It's getting possessions. It's getting more things and stuff. And so much wrong has been done to get more stuff. And we make so many decisions to get more stuff. I mean, as a youth pastor, one of the things that always just breaks my heart is this kid gets kind of getting close to God and they're growing. And then they go get a job making barely more than minimum wage and stop going to church so they can go make $7 an hour or something. And I'm like, and some of the times it's even their parents that told them to get it and won't let them, you know, take Wednesdays off or Sundays off. And I'm like, for that? Okay, it's nothing. Like, come on. And we will sometimes let money and possessions direct our life. Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with possessions, but it can't be your love. It can't be the thing that you love. It can't be your guide. It can't be what directs and makes you decide where you're going to go. And the truth is, so much of the time, it is. It's like, well, why did you move there? Why did you go there? Why did you do this? Well, money, to get more money. And sure, maybe you talk to God and say, am I to go there? Am I to do this? And he'll say, yeah, go there, make that money. Do okay. That, I'm not saying that we don't ever let that. God's never going to direct us that way, but it's not our guide, and it can't be our love. And then the last one, the pride of life. And I just put popularity. I could have put positions. It's the pride in those things, pride in the position I have. It's the look at me and what I've done. It's a status and feeling significant based on that. It's a pride thing. And oftentimes this is a huge thing for us, where we care so much about the opinions of others and the thoughts of others. I mean, people can't even enjoy a vacation unless they took a good picture so people know that they took a good vacation. You know what I'm saying? It's like, did I take a good vacation if it's not on Instagram? And it's that pride of life kind of thing. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. And it's looking good in the eyes of others instead of looking good in the eyes of God. Right. Can I look good to others when I'm serving God? Sure. But it can't be my love, my guide, my desire that I've got to make sure I look good and do that for others. It's got to be I'm serving God and going after him and letting him direct my life. Hallelujah. The enemy will use these things to take you out and destroy you. So I showed you an absurd video, like you're like, that would never happen. Now I'm going to read you a story in the Bible that seems absurd as well, okay? It's like, man, who would be that dumb, okay, when you read it? And so it's in Genesis 25. I'm not going to put it on the screen. If you want to follow along, it's Genesis 25, 24. And we're going to read about Jacob and Esau. It says in verse 24, when it came time for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first that came out to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. Which this sounds so strange to me, first of all. And apparently this baby was like hairy, like a garment hairy. I don't know, all right? I mean, I've seen some of those people at the water park, but I don't know. They weren't babies. after this, his brother came out. His hand was grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. This was the weirdest birth ever, okay? The second baby was holding the heel of the first one. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to him. Now the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents. Isaac had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. So you got this country boy and daddy's boy, and you got the city boy who's a mama's boy. Okay, so you got some conflict set up here already. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright, which is an absurd thing to ask, okay? A cup of stew. His birthright was his inheritance as the firstborn son. Okay, this is a huge, we're talking massive wealth, okay, from his dad, Esau. Look, I am about to die, Esau said. What good is a birthright to me? Which Sounds completely unrealistic until you have kids and you listen to them like, I'm so hungry, I'm gonna die. Or, you know, they're always so thirsty. And I don't know what it is with water bottles now. Like, my kids, if they don't have their water bottle, they think they're gonna die, all right? And I'm like, I remember playing, anybody else playing in the front yard for 3 hours with no water? If you had water, it was from the water hose. You hopefully let the hot part get out first, you know? I don't know how we survived. But anyways, knowing how kids act, Esau's the same way. He's like, what good is it? I'm gonna die, okay. Jacob says, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. He gave it away. Now you can read later where it says that he desired it and with tears wanted it back and couldn't get it back. Here's this absurd thing. He sells this great thing that he later regretted. Why? For this tiny little thing. Because he was hungry. Because of this desire that was stirred up in him. And so one of the things that I want you to get from this, to see from this, okay? And I'll say it like this. A hungry need is a dangerous need. When you get really hungry, it can be a dangerous thing in your life. Here he was, it was just so hungry, I gotta eat right now. And he wanted to satisfy it in this moment. And because of that, he did something he would later regret. And in your life, in my life, when we get this strong desire for something, I want you to be aware that this could be a dangerous thing in my life. So, if you're single, okay? Now, it's just a teenager, I mean, some of you have heard me do it before, okay? When you start really desiring a relationship, that can be a very dangerous need. Now, relationships are good. God created relationships. That's his idea, right? But I also need to recognize that when you start really, really wanting to be in a relationship, you can let that become such a driving force that you make really bad choices. And you start dating somebody that doesn't serve God because I just don't want to be alone. I have this need. And I start pursuing things and doing things in relationships that God doesn't want me to do. Why? Because I have this need and it's strong and there's this desire and it's the lust of the eyes. They're so pretty. It's the lust of the flesh. This feels really good. It's all these things and it's this desire. And you have to recognize when you have these hunger need in us, the devil will use it for evil. Is it good to desire a relationship? Yes, if you're seeking God and letting him be the thing that guides and directs it. But if you're not careful, he'll do that same exact thing the enemy will use to destroy you. Is it good for you to pursue a career and to pursue doing good things and making money and doing these things? Those can all be great things. But if they become this super desire to, I got to succeed and I got to be at the top of the thing and I got to do that. Okay, that could be great. But it can also come to the point where, well, to get that, I'm willing to push others down and to hurt that person, and I got to make way for myself, and you know, got to look out for number one, and all these things that go against what God would have us to do. So when there's a hungry need in us, we need to be careful. So I'm going to ask you a question, and maybe you can write this one down, okay, and think about it. If you were the devil, and you wanted to destroy you, how would you do it? If you were the devil, how would you destroy you? What would you use? And you see, because you know what you would, you've seen him use stuff on you before. What would you use on you if you were the devil? What would you tempt you with? The lust of the eyes, is there some things that he's just going to keep putting in front of you? Oh, look what you could have if you would just stop doing that, if you would just give up, you know, if you just give up going to church, if you would just, oh, you would just feel much better, you know, just go. That's not going to hurt you. Just what would you destroy you with? Or how about this one? Okay, parents, if you were the devil, how would you destroy your kids? What would you put in front of them? You're going to be famous. Yeah, you don't need to commit to church at all. Just keep going after. Look, they can do sports. That's great. They could also see it as, oh, I'm going to be famous and make so much money, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, look at what all I can do. And in the meantime, he's destroying them in the relationship with God. I want you to look and see, is the enemy using something to destroy your kid, okay? What hunger do you have? What hunger do you have? That's another way we could ask this. Hunger can be good, but our hunger for God has to be priority. It has to be the number one thing. So, what do we do about all this? Great news. James told us not to be adulterous people, and a couple of verses later, he tells us what to do. He says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He will try to destroy you. He will want to destroy you, but he can't, if you will, do this. Submit yourself to God. I have one master, one that I serve, one that I'm going after, okay? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then the next verse, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And this word here, double-minded, that sounds a whole lot about the two masters, doesn't it? It's the same kind of idea again, that we can have this or this. Oh, I want to serve God. I want that stuff I used to have. I want to live by the Holy Spirit. My flesh feels really good. Okay, and we have this double-mindedness. He says, purify your hearts and don't be that way. This is to have a one heart after God. Wash your hands, you sinners. This is to say, I am washing that sin away. I'm not going to do that sin anymore. I'm going to put that away from my life. But the most important part is right there. Come near to God. It is the choice to come near to him. And when you see double-mindedness in your life, what do? You go near to him. He will purify you. He will take this stuff out of you. Come near to him and say, God, I need to change. God, I see this hunger in me for these things of the world. And I don't want that in my life anymore. I want to pursue you and only you. I trust you. Let you be my guide. You be the one that directs me. So, is there a hunger in you for the wrong things? Is there maybe the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life? And you can just see it. It's like, oh, I keep getting pulled aside by these things that I don't want to be directing me. I want to go after God. Well, tonight what we can do is come near to him. You know, Esau, he ate the soup, gave his birthright away, and he couldn't get it back. And there are things in life, okay, the devil knows these, but you do them and you will destroy stuff that you can't get back. I mean, you can destroy a marriage and it never come back, you know what I'm saying? You can, there's things that you can do, but I want you to know this, when it comes to relationship with God, you may have done some real bad things, he will take you back. You need to come near to him. And even if there's things that you have broken, okay, and you have gone way off, the Lord knows how to reroute and go a new direction, okay? And so if things are broken and messed up, don't go, well, I ate the soup, my life's over. No, just say, God, what do you have next for me? By the way, Esau did grow up to be quite wealthy, if you read it. But you can let God take you in a new direction, but it just takes us come near to him. So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I always like to just look in my own heart. I don't even challenge you to look in your heart and say, God, is there something that you want to speak to me tonight? Something you want to do in me? Great time to say, Lord, is there a hunger, need in me that I need to let you satisfy instead of this other thing that I need to trust you with? And if you can just see something in your life that is like, I know that needs to change. I know I need to not let that be my guide. I need to not let that be my master. Decide right now in your heart as we worship in a moment that you're going to lay that down and seek him first.